In fact, that would be helpful this morning. If you have a phone Bible, get a translation that's different than the one we have here. The Message, Good News, some version of it. So go ahead and turn there, open there. If you don't have it, that's fine. What we're going to start with is whenever you do the divine reading, divine means holy, spiritual, like God-oriented. And so in this practice, what we do is we just say, Holy Spirit, have control. We kind of turn over these next few moments to say, Holy Spirit, we want you to speak. We want you to be part of this reading. We are open to what you have. It's really what Samuel said. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I mean, it's not a fancy prayer. It's just saying, "All right, here I am. Speak." And so I'm gonna pray it. But I'm hoping that you pray it with me. That we're just preparing our hearts. It's almost like plowing the ground before the seed's planted. All right, we're just getting ourselves ready for what God has for us. All right, so I'm going to just pray this with me, and whatever words you want to say, but this is a preparation time of getting ourselves ready. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Our hearts are really wanting to be prepared for what you have for us. We open our hearts up. Whatever you have to say, may you say it with clarity, and may we hear it, and we're open to it, God. And so speak. Amen. We're going to read this three times, all right? So you're going to listen to it three times. And all I want you to do is be listening for one word that God, like, it just pops off the screen, pops off, you hear it, you're like, that's the word. You're looking for a word that just kind of like connects with this scripture. And so does someone want to, we're going to have three people read it. So can I get three volunteers now who don't mind being vocal and read? Is anyone kind of out? All right. One, two, three. All right, we'll start. We'll go left to right. Everyone know where we are? All right, go ahead. Real loud. You all can read it along, or you can just listen. All right, you're looking for the word. Go ahead. Keep going. All right, so keep, again, do the same thing. You're just listening. Let a word pop off the page. If you guys want to read somewhat dramatically, passionately, emotionally, go ahead and do that. But go ahead. All right, can we put it back up? There we go. Flip it. All right, we're going to read it one more time, looking for the word. Go back to the, and you can read it in whatever translation. Go ahead and just listen. Okay, so with your people around you, your family sitting with you, I want you to share it again. You don't have to explain the word at all. Just what word popped off the reading? What was it that's just like hit you? Go ahead and share that in your groups. If you don't have a group, find a group. Let's be interactive this morning. What word stood out to you as you were listening this morning? All right, shouldn't take too long. You're just sharing a word. All right, so you got to hear. What you should have heard too is how God like picked out different words in the midst same reading, right? You're just like, that was your word, this is my word, and what we're gonna do now is we're gonna read it three more times. This time, let me get my volunteers first. Do I have three people that are willing to volunteer to read? Beth, Brian, all right, we got three? All right, we're gonna read it three more times. And this time, the rest of you are not gonna read it. You're gonna kind of like close your eyes or get in a spot. You don't have to close your eyes if that's uncomfortable for you. Get in a spot where you can imagine it. Like you can, like let God put an image or an experience or a taste or a touch or, you know what I mean? Like get into it. Like, all right, God, I want to see it. All right, you're letting God kind of paint a picture, do an artist work in your, he may connect it with something in the passage or he may give you a whole different picture from outside of it. You're like, wow, you know, that I'm just going to let God kind of speak a sensory experience into you, all right? Does that make sense? So close your eyes, get comfortable, wherever you need to do. We're going to read it slowly and just three times, right back to back to back, and just kind of like, what do you sense? What do you experience? What I want to do in the same groups, share the what you felt, what you experienced, what is the image that God, whatever way that scripture connected to you this morning, let's just share it in your group. Does that make sense? What image, what senses did you experience? All right, give you another minute or two. All right, some people, let's do about three, four, five. Someone share what kind of image they saw. What connected with you? Let's share each other with each other. Picture. I love that. great. In the old days, you're like, what, 16? So how long ago was that for you? Way back, back in the 90s, it was like a couple other people. Okay, good. That's really good. Really good. So we have a couple more. Good too. Anybody else want to share? Feel like they need to share? That's some good stuff. Isn't it cool how you can like sit in a community, and you know, obviously you could have heard me, and we'll walk through it a little bit this morning, but how God can frame how He's speaking to each of us differently, where we're at. Same scripture, same principle, same theology, same everything, but our pictures are different because, well, one, we're in a different situation than everybody else, and two, this is how God speaks, how God works, and so it's actually very beautiful to see how God can, like, picture different things for you. So let's walk through it a little bit, because, again, when I started the message, that's not really what I was planning to do this morning, but I think it's really cool to do. But we were talking about family. These principles were really where I was looking at for our families, our marriages. These are principles that fit anything because they're God principles. But we're definitely leaning into the family. And so let's just walk through it. God cannot be mocked. You want to go back to verse 7? There you go. Do not be deceived. Don't be lied to. Don't think that you got it right because you got it wrong. God cannot be mocked. Now, when we play softball, basketball, when I play sports and I'm enjoying my time, what I do is I like to mock people. I mean, is that fair to say? In my family, listen, if you're a friend of mine and I can be sarcastic with you, that means you're like kind of starting to be in that. I like that. You know, I mean, is that true for some of you? Some of your family is like built on sarcasm a little bit. Anybody around there? And it's not a mean sarcasm. There's a difference, isn't there, between mean sarcasm and this like what I call it loving banter between a husband and wife. You ever see that like a couple that just kind of lovingly banter in fun? But this is not that. You know, we can mock each other, but God cannot be mocked. Like you can. Here's the picture of that little phrase is. You may think you can outthink God, but God is, you can't, this principle that he's going to talk about, you can't break this rule. You can't break this law. Like this is a law of nature. This, like gravity. You may think you can break the law of gravity. I'm going to take the, can you hear me otherwise? All right, we're just going to take it off. You may think you can break the law of gravity, right? And you may for a little while with an airplane, but what's the song, What Goes Up? Must come down. Eventually, you're gonna hit against that wall. God, you cannot mock God and say, "All right, well, I'm." He's like, "You can't." And here's the principle: a man or woman reaps what they sow. It's a farming principle, right? It's a garden. Anybody garden? All right. Well, how many of you don't garden? Here's the principle: since you don't garden, you get no vegetables. I mean, isn't that the principle, really? You put nothing in the ground, you get nothing out of the ground. You can't say, oh, I'm so frustrated that I didn't get any tomatoes this year when you didn't plant any tomatoes this year. but think about the reality of that in our world is, there's a lot of people mocking God saying, I deserve to have this outcome, when they've never put the seed in beforehand. What they're saying is, you're mocking, if you think you can beat that principle, you're mocking God, because God created the principle. And the principle will break you before you break the principle. Is that fair to say? And he says, a man reaps what he sows. Verse 8, there we go. And then he leans in, whoever sows to please the flesh, or maybe another term, whoever like is pursuing the sinful desires, the things that are not God pursuits. Even some are just like plain wrong, and some are good things that become gods in our life. Does that make sense? Like we're just trying to please our flesh, our desires. From that, the pathway is you'll reap. What you're sowing is this, and so the natural, this is math. You math experts? This is math. Sow this equals destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, this is, puts yourself in submission to God, from the Spirit will reap the harvest equals eternal life. This is the verse that I really love, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. All right, so let's talk formula. All right, because I think there's a formula here. Harvest equals sowing. Do you know the term sowing? Over, what's the last part of it? Time. At the proper time. So the harvest equals sowing over time. Let me paint the picture a little more. So let's do the vegetable thing. A vegetable harvest. That's the harvest. You get to the end of in the August time frame. You go out to the vine. You pick like a tomato. By the way, if you don't garden, understand this. Store tomatoes are not garden tomatoes. Am I not BLTs off of a vine tomato? Anybody not disagree with me on that? There's no comparison. It's like cardboard versus like something very flavorful. So, if you want tomatoes, you have to sow and weed and do the work over time, because it's not an immediate thing. It's like over months. This way, at the proper time. All right, so let's look at family. So that's the same thing. If we want to harvest in our family, if you have a picture of where the road trip's ending, if you have like, this is where I want my kids to end up, this is where I want my marriage to end up, this is where I want my friendships to end up, any kind of like, hey, harvest principle, you have a destination in mind, you have to invest over time. Invest over time. You want an outcome? Invest over time. Now, there's two parts of investment. There's the person who just has, like, lots of money, and they have, like, a huge investment at one point, right, which is okay to do. And we do that, too, in our families and our marriages. There are times we invest a big moment. There's life-changing moments. So let me describe it to you, then I want you to share with each other what some of those life-changing, like, what, relationally, in my marriage, wedding day is a huge day. It's a huge investment that kind of spirals the rest of our marriage. It starts the rest of the marriage, right? So there's these vacations. We invest in vacation because we believe that investment not only is fun for us, but there's a harvest later on of relationship and rest, and there's that. So what major investments have you made in some in your families or in your relationships that you're like, maybe put it this way, what major turning point days, like you look back and that was a day. Does that make sense? Like when you can point it out, when you can say, all right, that was the wedding day, birth. I know those days. Those were marking points. I remember baptism. Those are marking point days. Like those are major investments. So go ahead and talk. If that makes sense, you follow me a little bit. Can you answer that question? All right, go ahead. Major marking point days in your family, marriage. about, does that make sense? So there's that major, that's not really where I was going to go this morning, because there's a different principle, there's a different investment strategy that probably works even better. It's the investing small over time, right? You put a dollar a day away a day over the course of your life, you will be a millionaire. You ever hear the phrase, the millionaire next door, the book, the millionaire next door? They live in a certain lifestyle, but they have invested small through the course of their life so that they have a harvest later on. It's those, and I'm just saying, family-wise, the big investments is what we kind of focus on sometimes, but it's the small investments, I believe, that have the most power over the course of 18 years of your kid's life. The small investments have a greater potential for reward over time in your marriages, over in any relationship. It's the small investments that really pay off long term. Because a lot of times, again, financial peace, some of you are taking it, you know, you kind of have this idea, I don't make enough to invest. That's what you're always feel like, I don't have any. Well, the truth is, you have it, you just have to do it micro over a long period of time. All right. And what I'm saying is, when we're looking at this principle of sowing over time or investment over time equals harvest, I'm saying those small investments are critical to every relationship that you have. I mean, this could be some small investments. Number one, praying with your spouse is a marriage investment. Praying over your kids is like, I brought money. If you had a piggy bank, praying over your kids is like putting pennies in. I'm not talking about slot machine pennies. I'm talking about like investment pennies. You may not get the reward today, so you're just like, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. 33 years later, you may still be waiting for your kid to come around to know Christ. You're still praying. You're still investing. You're still putting the coins in, saying, let us not become weary, tired. Let's not give up praying over time for our families, for our marriages, for our relationships, because at the proper time, we will do what? We will reap a harvest. So keep investing. You keep putting the coin in. You keep going, saying, I know that I will not give up on this because the harvest is plentiful. So we need to be praying over. I was sitting in bed with my four-year-old because she doesn't let me leave. She makes me stay there till she falls asleep. And I you know, if you're a parent, you understand there's a battle in your mind. There's like, I want to go down and get some stuff done. But then because I was doing this message this week, I had to change my thought. I'm like, no, this is my investment time. This 10 minutes in bed with her is like putting coins in the bank. So I just started praying for her, putting coins in the bank. All right, let me just change it a little bit. That second phrase, time, is a big part of this. Do you know that this looks like a big jar of marbles? But this is 18 years of your kid's life. If you start at birth, you have 936 marbles in the jar, give or take. All right, and so every week, you take out a marble. Some of you have used up all the marbles because they're out of the house now. Some of you are like right here. Some of you are right here. I'm just saying, time is clicking. Time is ticking away. Time's going faster than we want it to go. Pretty soon, we will run out of time. And so at the proper time, we want to receive a harvest, but we need to be sowing now. Does it make sense? We have to value our time now, whatever time you're in. If you're with your grandkids or with your marriage, you have to value time now. Another phrase is redeem the time. You're spending it in other ways, take it. Some of you only have a handful of marbles left. Don't be like, oh, I only have a handful of marbles left. You have to invest that time. You have to redeem it. Say, for the next however marbles that I have with my kids, I'm investing over time. I'm going to take it. I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to value it. Here's the other part of it. We only have one life. Once this marble's gone, we get nothing, we're done. And so I want that investment too. I want to make the most investments over time so that we can reap a harvest. All right? All I'm saying is value your time. Because your marbles are going quick. Pretty soon it's empty. And I'm not saying, listen to what I'm saying. Your kids may be out of the house. It doesn't mean that you can't invest in them still. But the investment changes. It's a different investment. And so really, if you have kids in the house, you want to make the best investment now for later. You redeem the time. Let me just give you two or three other investments that we can do. One is just, it's really, maybe the phrase is time over time. Is it? Our time over time equals a harvest. Our presence, our being with, our showing up, our like being engaged, not just showing up like, okay, let me paint it this way. We all, if you are a parent, you know what it is to chauffeur your kid. You are a taxi. You are driving Uber, but you don't get paid for it, right? You're driving your kids. So rather than, here's where you redeem the time. Rather than thinking, all right, I got to take my kid here, turn on the radio, sports radio or news radio or FLN network, why not redeem the time? Use that as an investment time into your kid's life. Like, it's time with, right? So redeem it. What about dinner? You're going to eat anyway. So let's make sure we use that time over time. Dinner, you know, one dinner doesn't make a huge difference, but if you eat dinner together over and over and over and over and over again for 18 years, I'm telling you, there's a harvest principle that plays out. If you keep, even though, listen, my sons, daughter, all of them, same questions every day, right? How's your day? Same answer every day. I'll even change the question. Anything interesting happened today? No, I mean, they'll change the answer a little bit, but it's still a one-word answer. But over time, there are moments where they open up. And so those leaning in over and over and over again leads to a harvest. All right. Is church canceled today? It's slippery out there. No, we're just preaching right now. We're just sharing right now. Well, let me get back to you. I should have answered it. You guys could have talked to him. That's right. Hey, we're all right here. So, listen to the point this morning for what you only have so many moments. If you want to harvest, let me go back to that verse. Let us not become weary. It's tiring. Marriage is tiring. Raising kids is tiring. Relationships are tiring. And they're hurtful at times. And it's like you want to give up, right? You want to tap. You just give me 3 days of peace and then I can get back in the game. But let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, there will be a day you'll look back and be like, all those investments, all those big investments, dollar bills, $10 bills, $1,000 bills, all those little pennies, they add up over time in your kid's life. And man, what we want at the end of the day, we want the harvest principle to play out, right? We want to see them be like what God called them to be. And so we're going to do two things to finish up. One is we didn't finish the Lectio Divina yet. There's one more step that I wanted to save to the end. We're going to read it two more times. And this time the question to God is, God, what do you want me to do with this? What's the application? What step do you need me to take? All right, so, and then the next part is what we want you to do is we're going to give you some time to do some investments, all right? And it's a simple investment today. We want you to pray with your spouse, if they're here, pray over your kids, if they're here, if they're not here, or if you don't have kids, that's fine too. We're going to invest in each other too. You're going to be in whatever group you're in right now, and I want you to be able to pray over, just do a little investment. Over your family, any relationship that you want to invest in today, we want to pray together as whatever group you're in over that. So let's start with the reading. I'll read it this time. I'll read it twice. You can just get in a spot where you can just listen to the Holy Spirit, whatever he has to say. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. All right, we're going to read it one more time. I'll go back to the beginning there. Just listen to whatever God has to say to you. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. All right, so what I want you to do, if you want to share a little bit about what God has asked of you, you can do that, and then just spend the next 5 minutes praying together. And then I'll close in prayer, and we'll share a few announcements then, so the worship team can kind of sit. So just go ahead, break into your groups, pray over with your families. Changed the chair alignment. There you go. All right, you keep praying. I'm going to pray over us as well. Lord, we look at these investments, these families, marriages, and I know there are people in here that are tired, exhausted, maybe even ready to quit or feel like they need to quit, but I pray that you encourage them today, that they'll realize that there's a harvest principle at work, that the investments they're making today and they have made and that they will make a difference, and I mean those investments just reap an incredible.
Most of us spend over half our lives at work. Whatever it is you fill the 9-to-5 with, planting crops, building cars, taking care of patients, teaching students, or running a business, work is where most of life happens. For some, work is a drain. They dread Monday mornings, forcing themselves to struggle through because they need the paycheck, while many times feeling trapped and beaten down by their job. Some people love their work. They're good at what they do. It energizes them. It's a place of security, a place to chase dreams, desires, and success. At work, they find fulfillment. We often forget to connect our faith to our work. We don't consider the reasons God may have us at our job. We don't think about the purpose and meaning we could bring to our work. We simply focus on how it makes us feel. But what if we saw our work as an opportunity to worship? As Christians, we are called to serve Christ with our lives. For a few, that means working as a pastor, a youth minister, or a missionary. Others serve the church by teaching children or singing in the choir. But when Sunday is over, most of us return to our jobs outside the church. For us, our mission is in the marketplace. We may not be the kind of missionary who moves to the far regions of Africa, but around the conference table, around the water cooler, or around the cubicle, we have an opportunity to worship the God who created us. He gave us skill. He gave us passion. He gave us work. When we do our jobs with excellence and integrity and diligence, it's an act of worship.